Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Because this is Nrisimha Chaturdasi, we're going to read a verse from Canto 7, Chapter 9, Text 43. Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers. And this is one of his prayers. And it's a famous one. Naivo dvije paraduratya yavaitaranyas. Tvadhirya gayana mahamrita magna chittaha. Sho cheta tovi mukha cheta sa indriyartha. Maya sukaya baram udvaha tovi mudhan. Naivo dvije paraduratya yavaitaranyas. Tadvirya gayana mahamrita magna chittaha. Chocheta tovi mukha cheta sa indriyartha. Maya sukaya bharam udvahato vimudhan. Na not eva certainly udvije I am disturbed or afraid. Para O Supreme duratyaya insurmountable or very difficult to cross. Vaitaranya of the Vaitarani, the river of the material world. Tvat viryaha of your lordship's glories and activities. Gayana from chanting or distributing. Mahamrita in the great ocean of nectarian spiritual bliss. That's a nice word, isn't it? Magna chittaha, whose consciousness is absorbed. Shoche, I am simply lamenting. Tataha, from that. Vimukkachetasa, the fools and rascals who are bereft of Krishna consciousness. Pretty strong language. Indriya artha, in sense gratification. Maya sukaya, for temporary illusory happiness. Bharam, the false burden or responsibility. Udvahataha, who are lifting by making grand plans for this arrangement. Vimudhan, although all of them are nothing but fools and rascals. Parentheses, I am thinking of them also. Translation, oh, best of great personalities, I am not at all afraid of material existence, for wherever I stay, I am fully absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities. My concern is only for the fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and maintaining their families, societies, and countries. I am simply concerned with love for them. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Throughout the entire world, everyone is making big, big plans to adjust the miseries of material world, and this is true at present, in the past, and in the future. Nonetheless, although they make elaborate political, social, and cultural plans, they have all been described herein as vimudha, fools. The material world has been described in Bhagavad Gita as dukkhalayam ashashvatam, temporary and miserable. But these fools are trying to turn the material world into sukhalayam, a place of happiness, not knowing how everything acts by the arrangement of the material nature, which works in her own way. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashah ahankara vimudhatma kartaham iti manyate. The bewildered spirit soul, under the influence of the three modes of nature, thinks himself to be the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by nature. There is a plan for material nature, personally known as Durga, to punish the demons, although the asuras, the godless demons, struggle for existence. They are directly attacked by the goddess Durga, who is well equipped with 10 hands, with different types of weapons to punish them. She is carried by her lion carrier, or the modes of passion and ignorance. Everyone struggles very hard to fight through the modes of passion and ignorance and conquer material nature. But at the end, everyone is vanquished by nature's laws. Paragraph. There's a river known as Vaitarani between the material and the spiritual worlds. And one must cross this river to reach the other side, or the spiritual world. This is an extremely difficult task. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 7:14, Daivihyesha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya. This divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. The same word, duratyaya, meaning very difficult, is used here. Therefore, one cannot surpass the stringent laws of material nature except by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Nonetheless, although all materialists are baffled in their plans, they try again and again to become happy in this material world. Therefore, they have been described as vimudha, first-class fools. As for Prahlad Maharaj, he was not at all unhappy, for he was, although he was in the material world, he was full of Krishna consciousness. Those who are Krishna conscious, trying to serve the Lord, are not unhappy, whereas one who has no assets in Krishna consciousness and is struggling for existence is not only foolish, but extremely unhappy also. Prahlad Maharaj was happy and unhappy simultaneously. He felt happiness and transcendental bliss because of his being Krishna conscious. Yet he felt great unhappiness for the fools and rascals who make elaborate plans to be happy in this material world. I'll read the translation again. Go through the verse again. Naivodvije paradurataya vaitaranyas tvadvirya gayana mahamrita magna chitta shoche tatovi mukacheta sa indriyarta maya sukaya param udvahato vimudhan. O best of the great personalities, I'm not at all afraid of material existence. For wherever I stay, I am fully absorbed in thoughts of your glories and activities. My concern is only for the fools and rascals who are making elaborate plans for material happiness and maintaining their families, societies, and countries. I'm simply concerned with love for them. This is the appearance day of Lord Nrisimhadev, who appeared on this day for the protection of Prahlad. So we owe a lot to Prahlad Maharaj for his example of pure devotional service despite the greatest of difficult circumstances. Whatever tribulations we undergo, if we can just think of Prahlad Maharaj, we'll feel better. We'll understand the extent of our tribulations are minuscule compared to Prahlad Maharaj. And at the same time, Prahlad Maharaj is described as one who achieved spiritual perfection just by constantly remembering the personality of Godhead. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam, just by always remembering the personality of Godhead. So in the course of those tribulations that Hiranyakashipu was putting him through, he was not disturbed. He was not disturbed because, as he's saying here, naivodvijay, udvijay means I am disturbed or I am afraid. They have these little slogans, no fear, and the subtext is that's a bluff. Because it's like a bully or something. No, I think all devotees have encountered bullies, and it's one of the things I personally don't like at all is somebody that's a bully. It's a bluff. And they're foolish. Because just like Hiranyakashipu, just like a piece of paper, they're whatever it is that they're being bullyish about, it's a total bluff. Just like that. The whole thing, whatever their little kingdom, their little program, will be crushed. So it's a very foolish position. Very foolish position. I remember just little anecdotal thing. When I was in college and searching for the absolute truth, searching for reality, searching for God, searching for real spirituality, there was a little group of people that considered themselves very spiritual. And I remember having a conversation with one of them saying, you know, how is everything going? Because I knew that they were undergoing some tribulation. And the answer I got was, everything's under control. thought, you fools. Everything's under control. They meant, you know, under their control, but they're under the control of material nature. As Prabhupada is describing here, the position of Durga, whose business it is to give trouble to those who are averse to the personality of Godhead. It's described very poetically and beautifully in Sri Brahma Samhita, where Lord Vishnu, who's enjoying with Rama Devi, sees at a distance Chaya Devi. She's that Chaya means reflection. So the internal potency is the and the Supreme Lord, Mahavishnu, they're enjoying transcendental pastimes. It doesn't describe those pastimes. They're enjoying transcendental pastimes. And at a distance, the reflection of that internal potency is the external potency, the reflection of the internal potency, but she has an existence. She has a name, Chaya Devi. And he's feeling compassionate because it's nature of the Supreme Lord. Where do we get compassion from? It's the quality of God. He's feeling compassion. She wants something to do, but she doesn't have anything to do. So I'll give her something to do. He thinks like that. So he glances over Chaya Devi, and that glance is very powerful. It carries the living entities and the time energy. And suddenly, in contact with the dormant reflection of his internal potency, she becomes awakened, and she becomes activated and very busy. And her busyness is keeping those living entities away from the personality of Godhead, who she wants to serve and protect. Protect, keeping, you know, annoying adverse persons away from him. And so she gives them so much to do and so much tribulation and difficulty. They're so busy trying to find happiness in that tribulation and difficulty and so much to do, they don't have time to even approach the personality of Godhead. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur describes in his commentary, the Lord it's not like the Lord is pleased, oh great, give them tribulation, they deserve it. It's not like that. But he's seeing, well, I gave her something to do, and that's what she does. You know, wishing a little bit differently, wishing like Prahlad Maharaj is describing, let them come in a loving mood. But, you know, she's busy keeping them at bay, keeping them at distance. And so the Lord permits that because she's very happy doing that service. And that just is a very interesting insight into how the Supreme Lord considers the suffering of this world. He doesn't wish the living entities to have a rebellious spirit. He doesn't wish the living entities to suffer. He's not mean and cruel and harsh and judgmental and, go suffer. Not like that. It's their spirit, and his external energy is fully occupied with 10 weapons giving them all kinds of tribulations, all of which is totally unnecessary. The sufferings of living entities, totally unnecessary. But once in that circumstance, there's this Vaitarani, this buffer zone in between the material and spiritual world, and the personality of God, it is on, as the verse is describing, is on the side of the spiritual energy. We'll go back two more verses, text 41. Vaitarani is also mentioned here. My dear Lord, evam sukarma patitam bhava vaitaranyam. The living entities, because of their intense absorption in karma or fruitive work, or what Prabhupada said in the purport this morning, they're so busy adjusting the circumstances of matter, adjusting and readjusting and fine-tuning and doing it again and trying to make sukha out of a place that's dukkha. Hint, it's not going to happen. It will never happen. It never has. It isn't now. It never will. Very determined. Persons who are averse to Krishna, very determined. Like one of the kings of determination is Jarasandha. He was totally humiliated. He brought huge armies each time, bigger, huge armies, and Krishna stood on the battlefield and single-handedly defeated the entire army. He annihilated the entire army, leaving Jarasandha standing alone. And he went back and got another army, a bigger army. Krishna stood on the battlefield and defeated him, just standing alone. And he went back, totally humiliated. And he did it again and again, very determined. It's a nice lesson in determination. We should be so determined to be Krishna conscious as Jarasandha was determined to defeat Krishna. So determined, but completely foolish. Caught in fruitive, just as the verse that Prabhupada is quoting, Devi Isha Gunamai Mama Maya Dharatiya. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha ahankara vimudhatma. The conception, atma, the conception of myself, is, if one who is in this business of struggling very hard with material energy, the force that's impelling them is false ego, ahankar. And the grosser form of that subtle false ego is kartaham iti manyate, thinking is attachment to fruitive work, thinking oneself to be the cause of my activity, the cause of the fruit of my activity, and inducing others to act, when in fact all that is being carried out by material nature. But the person who is foolish doesn't give a pinch of credit to material nature. Rather, they're being carried by material nature and thinking, I'm doing it. And so, crossing the ocean of death, as it's said here in the verse, or crossing the ocean of material existence isn't going to take place. It means by the model that I have of what happiness is, I'm binding myself to this difficult struggle. Duratyaya. Unnecessary struggle. Unnecessary suffering. Never experiencing even the slightest real happiness, the sense of happiness, is as the verse is describing, indriyartha maya sukaya, the last line, maya suk, false happiness, maya sukaya. Prabhupada quoted this, that phrase alone, like I think I've probably heard it several hundred times. Maya Sukhaya. Just like a little sutra describing the whole of material civilization. Maya Sukhaya. Like he, you know, with one phrase, just dismissing the whole of material civilization. On one morning walk, I shared this in New Vrindavan, one morning walk from our previous temple in Brooklyn on Henry Street. We walked up Henry Street going north and made a little left-hand turn going through Brooklyn Heights and came out to a big plaza, which is an overhanging area like a park above the Brooklyn-Queens Expressway. And from there you can see the skyline of Manhattan. And Prabhupada, although his stature was very short, he moved very quickly. And, you know, his much taller, stronger, young, spirited American disciples scurrying after just to keep up with him. Like every third or fourth step, he had to half run just to keep up. And then Prabhupada stopped suddenly, so everyone, you know, collided and got around Prabhupada, and he pointed with his cane to the skyline. And in the same way, so we're all looking, you know, what is Prabhupada seeing? And he said something to the effect, this is simply built on sex desire. And just like with his cane went like that, just like material civilization, Maya Sukhaya. The dogs are sleeping on the street and they're sleeping on the top floor of the big skyscraper building thinking this is happiness. Enjoying their sex life in that way. Maya Sukhaya. And everyone went, wow. And then Prabhupada just kept walking. Just dismiss the whole material civilization. Maya Sukhaya. Bharam. Bharam means carrying a false burden, like Dhenukasara. The nature of demoniac mentality is the load carrying, like a donkey, a load-carrying mentality. I have to do all this hard labor. Why? Because if I don't, then I can't maintain my family. I have to do this hard labor. Who will maintain my... How will I survive? So Prabhupada gives the example, the donkey is carrying a big burden on his back. We don't have that here, but in India. And apparently it was something that Prabhupada had witnessed and marveled at as a child. He specifically describes big piles of laundry. So the Dobiwala would take the cloth and pile it up, big pile, to some place where they wash the clothes and then put the washed and dried clothes on the back of the donkey and take the donkey back. You know, to deliver the clothes to the people, and that was their livelihood. But they need the donkey to carry the big load. So why does the donkey carry the big load? Because he's a donkey. Thinking, if I don't, how will I eat? So the man at the end puts a pile of grass in front of the donkey and he eats the pile of grass. But as he's walking along the road on this side and that side, there's so much grass. But he's thinking, I have to carry this big load so I can get some grass. And then at the end of the day, Prabhupada described this way, so I'll repeat it. At the end of the day, there's the she-ass. So he comes to the she-ass for enjoyment. And she, very hard, kicks him in the face. This is material life, Prabhupada describing. One who is wanting this sukha in the place of dukkha. And determined like Jarasandha, somehow I'm going to get happiness. But it's maya sukha. And to pursue that maya sukha, I have my plans. Udvahato means Maya Sukhaya Bharam Udvahato. I have my plans. I'm creating so many plans. Notice, it's always, material enjoyment is always in the future. It's like chasing the carrot or with a stick, and there's the bunch of grass in front of this and hanging from the stick, and the happiness is always going to happen later. Like how people plan their lives or plan a weekend or plan their day or something. I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to, you know, and as they're doing this, they're anticipating the next thing, because the next thing and the next thing is going to bring happiness, but it's always beyond their grasp because it never happens. Never happens. One of the flights I was taking, there were two ladies sitting next to me talking about going to Las Vegas and gambling. I couldn't believe it. I mean, zowie. I know people do it, but it's just like to hear people talking about, they knew that they were going to lose money. And, you know, they were describing the pleasure of losing money. It was unbelievable. And then they were making, you know, I'm looking forward to going again. Classic. So, Maya Sukhaya Bharam Udvahato Vimudhan. So, Mudha means foolish. The mudha means very foolish, and Prabhupada has added another nice comparable word, rascal. Now, he probably knew that the nature of that word, rascal, is a harsh word. Foolish is not complimentary, but it's not harsh, and it's hard. It's like, you fool, but now you rascal. Like, it's rascal means like it's deliberately foolish. And their maya paritagyana, the ones when one's knowledge is taken away by the illusory energy. Maya pritagyana asurim bhavam ashrita. The asura bhav, the spirit of being averse to the personality, anything but happiness in relation to the personality of Godhead. I'll take a big order, please. Give me a double. Happiness apart from the personality of Godhead. It's the cause of suffering. And Prahlad Maharaj sees it. Therefore, Shoche, he's feeling sad. He's more stronger than that. He's lamenting. We have Nashochati, Nakangshati, neither hankering nor lamenting. Here Prahlad Maharaj is lamenting. Samak sarve shubhuteshu mad bhaktim labhate param. His lamenting is not like ours. Our lamenting is we have something and we lose it. Or we want something, we don't get it. That's our lamenting. It's entirely fruitive. His shoche, his lamentation, is entirely transcendental, proven by what he says in the first part. He's completely satisfied. In fact, he says, naiva udvije, I'm not disturbed or afraid about duratyaya vaitaranyas, this very, very, very difficult circumstance of material existence. And then the vaitarani, the river that divides material existence and the spiritual existence. I'm fully way over here in this land of material existence. But I don't have any lamentation. I don't have any fear or anxiety. He's Vaikuntha. He's free from anxiety. Why? Tvad virya. Your virya means strength, your glories and your greatness. Gayana mahamrita magna chitta. My consciousness is fully absorbed in remembering you, your greatness, your mahamrita. The great ocean of nectarian spiritual bliss. He's swimming in that ocean of nectarian spiritual bliss, remembering the personality of Godhead. That's why he can withstand the torture of Hiranyakashipu and be protected. He was protected even before Lord Nrisimhadeva appeared. He was protected. A devotee is protected. And that's what he's, and we'll go back to text 41. He says that explicitly. My dear Lord, you are always transcendently situated on the other side of the river of death. But because of the reactions of our own material activities, we are suffering on this side. Indeed, we have fallen into this river of material existence and are repeatedly suffering the pains of birth and death and eating horrible things. Now kindly look upon us, not only me, but also upon all others who are suffering. And by your causeless mercy and compassion, deliver us and maintain us. I think you will show your causeless mercy to persons like us who engage in your service. So he knows the nature of the Lord. That was described earlier when Lord Brahma pushed him forward and said, offer prayers, Prahlad. So his understanding was, I don't have qualification to offer prayers. But you're merciful. That I know. And if I, even with my lack of qualification, disqualification, offer prayers, your mercy is so great that you'll accept it. And so I'll offer prayers. He knows the nature of the Lord. He's merciful. He's compassionate. He doesn't want us to suffer. He doesn't, but we continue to suffer because we're struggling very hard with material nature, making our plan to make this a place of sukha, when it's not, by design, it's something else. So transcendental consciousness can carry us out of the dukkha to the sukha, or the mama maya duratyaya, the difficult struggle, to be on the other side. There's another very nice verse in the Bhagavatam that says, when one looks at the ocean of material existence and the turbulent waves of the ocean of material existence, it looks unsurpassable. But one who takes shelter of the boat of your two lotus feet, immediately that ocean shrinks to the amount of water that's in a hoofprint of a calf, and immediately you're on the other side. Nice imagery. Immediately you're on the other side. Not like a rough river crossing or ocean crossing. Immediately you're on the other side. Just by that taking shelter of the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead. So Prahlad is experiencing that, but he's saying that there are these other people, Shoche Tato, Vimukha Chetasa Indriyarta Maya Sukaya Baram Udvahato. They don't take shelter of your two lotus feet. They're so busy in illusory happiness, chasing the carrot, trying to find enjoyment in a place where it's only suffering, making unlimited numbers of adjustments, and that's material existence. So many plans. Maya Sukaya civilization. Just like that. Prahlad Maharaj is praying to the Supreme Lord to please deliver. So, all such personalities who are suffering, and that's largely everybody. We wouldn't come to the material world if it wasn't for the fact that we had some wish to become an independent enjoyer of the Supreme. And if we can let, he's praying to the Lord, please relieve them of that false shelter, and by your mercy bring them to your shelter, your lotus feet. Because the devotee prays like that, the Lord shows his mercy. He's merciful anyway, but he shows his mercy. He becomes situated in such a way that that mercy that he's freely wishing to distribute, others have the capacity to receive. It's like the question that Gauramani was asking yesterday evening. It was a nice question. You know, in a dynamic, interpersonal dynamic in the workplace, or just, you know, moving around the world, how to deal with situations where people are aggressive and envious and backbiting and mean-spirited, and how do you, like, keep your Krishna consciousness? How do you act in those situations? And if you keep your Krishna consciousness, then comes another criticism. Oh, you're proud. But Prahlad Maharaj is completely free from pride. He's recognizing we all have this very frail, fragile condition. We need the Lord's protection. But that protection is accessed by remembering him. That's his, he's perfected in remembering the Lord. But those who are not in that consciousness, are not a trace of Krishna consciousness, they're struggling and they're suffering, and it's not necessary. So please bestow Krishna consciousness upon them. Please remove that suffering condition and replace it with Krishna conscious condition. That's compassion. It's not pride. It's not, I'm better than you. It's recognizing we're all in this same fix. The difference being, one is recognizing the fix, the complicated situation, and turning to the Supreme Lord in remembering him. And it's, for a materialist, that's oversimplistic. I was having a very nice discussion somewhere in the course of my travels with a person who's on the one hand pious, on the other hand quite materialistic. Materialistic in the sense of thinking we need to fix the problems. We need to do charity work, like, you know, mana seva bhagavan seva. By serving mankind, we're serving God. Without the, you know, the more devotional perspective that says, what can we do to bring sukha into the lives of other people? If you just, like, adjust the circumstance, you're not fixing the problem. The root of the problem is an adverse regard for the Supreme. That's why the complicated situation exists. And frankly, he was unable to get it. And it was a little painful to see. Pious person that doesn't get it. What to speak of impious people that don't get it. But even a pious person that doesn't get it. Nice guy. But, you know, in terms of, you know, manner and politeness and intelligent and, you know, well-wishing, but without the core understanding of the soul and the soul's implication in matter, the math then says he will suffer, and others who he's trying to help, they'll also continue to suffer because of the root is missed. So Prahlad is giving this wonderful teaching that Prabhupada was very inspired by, and for that reason he spoke about it again and again. The suffering condition of society. At this meeting that we had just this past number of days in New Vrindavan, one of the persons making a presentation was Sunanda Prabhu, Prabhupada disciple, who wants to start a service organization to help be like a resource for whatever devotees. He and one devotee from Canada, from Toronto, have in North America a service organization that help devotees become, have models or systems or resources, whatever, to increase prasadam distribution. So one of the comments that came in the course of that discussion was, Prabhupada was up on the roof of what is now the Lotus Building, and he was looking out. As he was looking out, he saw one of the other buildings that existed at the time. There's the front wall, and then now the big gate, and then over on this side is the long building. So way over in the other corner, on the other side of Prabhupada's Pushpa Samadhi, there was a prasadam hall where the devotees would come and take prasadam during festivals. And the procedure was, after taking prasadam, we had banana leaf plates and clay cups, and we took the banana leaf plates and clay cups and put them in a pit, and then later someone would clean the pit out and put it in some biodegradable disposable place. So Prabhupada was standing on the roof of the Lotus Building and was looking out and saw, I think it was Badri that was describing this, Badri Narayan was describing this, that he saw the pit. There was a lady, a woman, and two children, and a bunch of dogs. And the two children had sticks, and they were beating away the dogs so they could get scraps of stuff off of the plates and cups. And Bhavananda was standing next to Prabhupada, and he was seeing what Prabhupada was watching, and said, "Prabhupada, when I see this, sometimes it makes me feel so sad, so pained, to see that they have to fight away the dogs to get scraps of whatever they can get off the plates that devotees discarded." And Prabhupada turned to him with a very stern look and said, "Why sometimes?" And then said, "In all of our temples," and this went out as a letter, "in all of our temples in a 10-mile radius, there should be no one that's going hungry. That would be ideal." Then he described that we should always have plates of prasad. There was a letter, distinctly remember. There was a letter that said we should have prasadam ready so that people come to our temple. We don't have to go down and cook. There's some prasadam. Of course, here in Chicago, we have so much left over. It's not a problem. We have prasadam. But some temples don't have that. But the compassion of, on the one hand, the persons who have very little, and on the other hand, those that are struggling so hard to achieve happiness by acquiring things and trying to be the enjoyers of those things. Prabhupada was so moved from the Bhagavatam's teachings and expressed here in a very powerful way. So he quoted it again and again, "Maya sukhaya param udvahato vimudhan." Feeling compassion. So for that circumstance, This is Prahlad Maharaj speaking, and this is the person for whom Lord Nrisimhadev descended. Because Prahlad had those qualities, he was harassed. He was intimidated. He was threatened. He was, you know, like attempted murder so many times by his demoniac father. And for that reason, the Lord appeared. The Lord was protecting him before he appeared. But it's those who have that quality, like Prabhupada exhibited, like Prahlad Maharaj exhibited, like Prabhupada wanted us to imbibe and carry. It's the mood of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, which we're part of, to bring the remedy in this age of Kali for the greatly unfortunate circumstance of material civilization. And it's so challenging. It's the personality of Kali is ruling, and he has a tight grip on these foolish people that say everything's under control. So much suffering on a mass level, on an individual personal level, on the outside, on the inside, and all around, and completely unnecessary. The remedy is readily available if willingness is there to receive it. And our Prahlad Maharaj like prayer should be just like he's presenting here. What is our need? No fear, no anxiety, no disturbance. The external is very disturbing, but internally, no disturbance. Just by remembering the personality of Godhead, we're fully protected. Praying to that same Supreme Lord who is the protector, please relieve these others. Like I mentioned this yesterday evening, the prayers of Lord Brahma. Please give me the strength, the empowerment, the capacity to bring a remedy for the unnecessary suffering of this world. So this is Lord Nrisimhadev's appearance. We can offer our prayers today and remember his compassionate, loving nature. In relation to the devotees, when Prahlad saw his great rage and anger, he said, I don't have any fear of this because I know it's not meant for the devotees. It's meant for the non-devotees. For the devotee, you're very gentle and kind, and but the demigods, they see this fierce feature, so, and they're afraid, so please remove it. It's don't need it anymore. The demons are dead. Just show your gentle side. But with those same sharp claws and teeth, please pull from my heart all impurity, specifically tendency for being a fruitive enjoyer, and the reactions that can perpetuate more of the same past fruitive activities. Please make our hearts pure, and by your mercy, help others to come to that same condition also. Prahlad Maharaj ki jai. Nrisimha Bhagavan ki jai. Any discussion? Questions? Kirtita? Okay. Yes, over here. She's not ready yet. It's bubbling up.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So I'm interested in this word, bhāram.
Bhāram.
This is false burden.
Yeah.
So in the practice of Krishna consciousness, would this be to say, it is without burden. Is there
without false burden?
Okay. So then
you carry something.
And this is, what is it we're carrying then that's the true burden?
Fantastic question. Two things. Receive and give. The burden of receiving, it's a responsibility, that kind of a burden, a good kind, to receive the mercy, I'll say, of Lord Chaitanya, receive the mercy of those merciful souls that wish to carry us beyond the false burden into the realm of reality with a capital R. And that will be possible through mercy and the responsibility to receive it, like open and receive. And then the other burden or responsibility, give. Not force, but create opportunity for others to also receive. On a spiritual platform, not referring to Gauramani's question yesterday evening, not pridefully, I'm up here and you're down there, so I'll be a little merciful and I'll give you some crumbs because I've got some stuff and you don't have stuff, so here's some little bit. I'm better than you. Not like that, but out of genuine caring. And mentioning that specifically because the tendency for pride is so strong that one has a little bit of something and one becomes proud of that little bit of something, even if it's genuine. The tendency for pride is so strong. In fact, one of our acharyas, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, describes that that's like one of the last hurdles of impurity of the heart is there's a little spiritual success and one wants to be the enjoyer of that little spiritual success and become proud of it. It's so tenacious. So the giving spirit should not be from a prideful position, but a loving position. That becomes possible if one has received. And there has to be some eagerness. That's the responsibility or burden. Eagerness to receive. And then, wow, let me share this with others. Why did Prabhupada want his books distributed so profusely? Not so that his name would be known, the author of the Bhaktivedanta purports. It's so that the message of disciplic succession could be widely distributed, because he knew suffering that's unnecessary, here's the medicine, please take the medicine. Well, let me think about it. Well, wait a minute, let me understand the disease a little bit more. Okay, here's information about the disease. Now take medicine, please. Oh, compassion. That's the real burden. And it's right in the verse. Anything else?
Thanks.
Okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. How does one protect themselves from once we practice some Krishna consciousness and we get
a little spiritual success.
Yeah,
a little happiness.
Yeah, from the fruit of mentality, because we start to taste a spiritual, say, enjoyment, some type of bliss. So then how do we not get perverted consciousness that instead of thinking about pleasing Krishna for that purpose, that we're thinking about pleasing Krishna for the sense of making ourselves happy?
Yeah. Well, thank you for that question, too. It's that I'll give... You can, one can elaborate easily, but just simple point, two simple points. Service mood, humble mood of service. If you're in a humble mood of service and you receive something, one, if it doesn't become, oh, now I'm the enjoyer of this thing that's been given to me. It's gratitude from the source of that wonderful thing that's been given to you. And now let me take that which I've been given and out of gratitude give back in the humble mood of service. Now, what's the appropriate way to serve? Ask for clarification if you don't know, and then stay in that humble mood of service and serve. Here's a little detail on that one. Supposing, as it happens in our lives in Krishna consciousness, you're hearing or you're associating in something, you have a question, and Jai Jagannath gives you really like this wonderful answer of, you know, how you can deal with something you're struggling with. And then, forgetting Jai Jagannath and that exchange, in a fruitive way, you busy yourself in trying to apply that thing, forgetting the person, forgetting the mercy that was received, just like getting into the doer mentality. Forgetting the relationship, forgetting ultimately Krishna, just, you know, I know how to do things. I'm going to take this really nice understanding information and like work on it in the doership mentality. So the whole line of mercy is lost. There's a... So that's the protection will come when you stay... conscious of and acting in that relationship from where the mercy is coming from. There's a really beautiful passage in the second canto of the Bhagavatam where Maharaj Parikshit asks Shukadeva Goswami a question. I'd rather skip the details of the question. Long question, series of questions. When Shukadeva Goswami hears the full question, he pauses. He fixes his mind upon the personality of Godhead, and he just goes on describing the personality of Godhead. In the course of description of the personality of Godhead, he answers the question. But he's not just giving information, he's giving his realization based upon his relationship with the that source from which he's received everything. Fixed in Krishna consciousness. Like, there was a question yesterday about always thinking of Krishna and performing our prescribed duties. Your question yesterday. So if you stay fixed in the relationship with Krishna, your duty is simply an execution of that relationship with Krishna. That protects you. Being in a loving relationship protects you from false ego and all of the other yucky stuff that goes along with material existence. It's reality instead of illusion. The relationship ultimately is relationship with Krishna, with a devotee of Krishna, Ultimately, it's a relationship with Krishna. It's part of Krishna's family, and we're all connected to Krishna. So think of that, those persons from whom the wonderful understanding, and you get a little, wow, realization, and you start, but don't forget the relationship, don't forget the source and the mercy that's been received, and continue to move with that, and it's so much more powerful, and it leads to Krishna consciousness, more profuse Krishna consciousness, not just like another adjustment and another fix when I don't have Krishna consciousness at the other end. Then wonder what happened. It's like it just slipped out of my fingers. I'm not making advancement. I'm still struggling. And then that same anomaly or unwanted thing, boop, there it is again. From the fertile ground of forgetting Krishna or absence of Krishna consciousness. So, I said two things. One is the humble mood of service, and an extension of that is who you're serving and why. Like, you know, it's a relationship with Krishna and Krishna's devotees. Then you're just a recipient of mercy. That's a servant. It's a humble mood. And those who you're serving. And that's the spiritual realm. You just stepped out of the material and into the spiritual realm. And there's shelter, so you can stay there. You don't have to go back. It went away? Okay. Anything else? Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srinivasa Bhagavan ki jai.